present home.
You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message.
It is going to rain, and we'll be basking in the rains, and we'll be complaining about that as well. The one thing about Florida, when it rains, you know, up north, it seems like when it rains, it cools it off. But down here, you just see steam coming up off the ground, and don't seem to cool it off a whole lot. But you know what? I'll take it. It's June. This year is rapidly going by. I was looking at my Christmas decorations the other day and thinking maybe I should break them out. And Deacon Frank, I think you're right. I'm going to see, look into trying to get some large print hymnals. I don't know if it's such a thing, but yeah. And it's not the words, it's our eyes. But God's blessed us anyhow. Guys, as we dive back into our study in this great book of Hebrews, we're going to start by way of review in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 13. And by the way, let's give the Lord a hand clap for a new addition, a new baby in Martha's family, in Marsha's family. And what is his or her name?
Macy.
We'll keep Macy in our prayers. Just came to the planet, just came to the earth, and we will pray God's mercy on her even right now. Amen. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 13. And the Hebrew writer has been comparing, of course, throughout this book. We know that the theme has been that Christ is better. And the Hebrew writer has been showing us that through verse by verse by verse. And he starts off here in verse 13. He says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling is of the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh." And listen, we know that it wouldn't, but he's saying that if. He says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And listen, we know it did not. It kind of covered them for a year until the next day of atonement. But if it could, we know that Christ is so much better because it's an eternal promise and has been blessed by him himself. In verse 15, it says, "And for this cause, he is," and by the way, that he is Christ, "the mediator of the New Testament." And I love that, man. He's the one that stood in the gap. And listen, he pled our case to God, and I love it, because God said, "You're guilty." He said, "You're guilty," and the penalty for sin is death. And Christ said, "Fine, I'll pay their sin debt." He did that himself. In verse 15, it says, and for this cause, it says he is the mediator of the new or of the New Testament by means of death. And again, it was his death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And somewhere along the line, guys, you're here, you're professing Christ because you heard the call of God. I don't know if it was through circumstances, but ultimately it was through his word, and some dear saint said something to you, and then another saint said something to you, and God is the one that gave you the increase because he called you in. And listen, prior to that, you didn't know anything about him, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, but when God calls and he speaks to your heart, you know that it's him who's speaking. He goes on in verse 16, "For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity the death of a testator." And listen, it looks like language that it could be a wee bit veiled, but what we know is that even in today's society and in human life, that if someone has a will and a testament, that you're not going to get any part of that, whatever they're leaving you, you're not going to get it until after they pass away. Because somebody had to die. And that's what he's saying here about Christ. that once he died, it did away with the law. Look, it didn't make the law null and void. It simply put, he kept the law and was blessed by God to give the blessing of the law to us and bless us into this new testament that he had done. He says in verse 17, for a testament is of force after, it says, men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And again, like the last will and testament, it's there. It's whoever is written on there is going to get it, but not until that person dies. Verse 18 says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to the people according to the law, the verse says he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool, and it says, and sprinkled both the book and the people. And I love that, man. And listen, it was, again, a covering. They had to sprinkle everything with this animal blood, and it was just a temporary cleansing, because in reality, they really weren't cleansed. They, by permission of God, he covered their sin for that time. And guys, something else I was looking at as I saw this, when he said that they took the blood of goats and of calves, and it says with water. And I thought about Christ, and when he was hanging on the cross, it was getting close to the day of the Passover, and so they wanted the thieves to be off of the cross, and so they took and they broke the leg of one thief, and then they broke the legs of the other thief, and what that would do would make their death come a little quicker, because they wanted him off the cross, but when they came to Christ, he was already dead. And rather than break his legs, they stuck a spear in his side, and from his side came running blood and water. And look, I don't know what the spiritual connotation is of that, but when I saw this blood and water that Moses was sprinkling everybody and everything with, it just made me think of that. Something interesting. Verse 20 says, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God has enjoined unto you. And listen, for that time and that time only, through the letter of the law, verse 21 says, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And he says at verse end of verse 22, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. In other words, had not Christ done what he did, we would still be in our sin. But because that mediator did what he did, and we've been blessed to know him, and he has given us his spirit, we don't no longer have to concern ourselves with the sins that we have found ourselves in prior to Christ. Because of the shedding of his blood, we have been set free. And for that, we ought to be grateful. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I preach around this series. Christ alone is worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this book, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll touch and bless me. Father, you're under shepherd for the day, Lord. You're a preacher that you have called to preach this service. Father God, I pray you hide me behind the cross of Christ. And Father, allow these words that I speak to be words that you have had me to study for this congregation. And Lord, where they need to fall, Lord, that's up to you. We pray that you will place them in all of our hearts in a place where it would do the most good. For some, it may be for understanding. For some, it may be for godly wisdom. Father God, for some, I don't know, it very well may be for salvation. Do with this truth as you see fit, and do with me as you see fit, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, amen and amen. I had a thought. I said before I start the service, I was going to get together with Scott and tell him to give me some alligator blood. He hunts gators for a living. And I said, I'll just put it in a little dish and I'll get a little brush and I'll move the pulpit up a little closer. And as I'm reading about what Moses did, I said, I can just sprinkle blood on everybody. But I figured it wouldn't go over too well, and you probably wouldn't think that was too funny. So I said, I'll just mention that I thought about it, and we'll leave it there. Amen? Look at verse 23 of chapter 9. It says it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves, it says, with better sacrifice than these, or sacrifices than these. In other words, guys, the animal thing is not going to cut it no more. And the Hebrew writer is writing to these Hebrews, and look, many of them were trying to go back to the old. They were still trying to keep some of the ordinances of the law. And his whole purpose in writing this book is that he's trying to show them, trying to prove to them that Christ is better than angels, better than Moses, better than the law, better than anything that you could come up with in your mind. And that animal thing, no sense going back there no more, because it is now null and void. We got a new way, a new covenant, and it's through Jesus Christ, the righteous. He says in verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true. In other words, they were simply a type. God knew what he was going to do, but they were simply a type. It says, but in the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. In the end, verse 24, he says, for us. Guys, understand that Christ had no sin. Did not even have a sin nature, didn't have to go and pay for any sin of his own, but he did that to pay for your sin and to pay for my sin, and he freely did that, freely died, so that our sin would be forgiven. He goes on in verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, look what he says, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. And again, pointing to the animal sacrifices, and look, the high priest of the day, whoever it was, he would go into the Holy of Holies, and look, on the Day of Atonement, and he would do that for the people. But again, it did not forgive them of their sins. It simply covered it, and they were being obedient to God, and God would overlook it. But indeed, their sin still needed to be taken care of. Verse 26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. The verse says, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In other words, no more covering up sin, no more pardoning sin for a period. It was forgiven because of the finished works of Christ. And I love the fact, man, that every year a high priest, they would have a high priest go in. Every year he would do it. He would go through the animal thing and sprinkle the blood. And every year, look, he was mortal, so sometimes they would die off. But then it would be another one that would come into place. But every year they did this thing. And God said, no, we're going to shut this thing now. We're going to do it once and for all. Look, when Christ was on the cross, he told them, I'm going to do it, but he was only going to do it once. Because unlike the earthly high priest, our high priest only needed to do it once. Because his was sufficient, not just for the time, not just in time, but it was sufficient for eternity. He goes on in verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men, look what it says, once to die, but after this, the judgment. And guys, every time I read this verse, and sometimes I'll preach a funeral out of these verses as well, and because it always brings up a question to me, and the question is simply this. In your life, for your sin, are you going to have to pay for it? Or is God's judgment going to come and deal with you? Is God's judgment going to have to come at you? Is his judgment and wrath going to be poured on you? Or is it going to be poured on Christ? And listen, this is a valid question. Because we need to know who we are, but we also need to know whose we are. And if we don't know Jesus Christ, when our time here is over, and listen, we got today, tomorrow's not promised, we don't know when we're leaving here, when our time is over, then God's judgment, if you don't know Christ, will be poured out on you. But if you do know him, then it's already been taken care of by the finished works of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says in verse 27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the verse says, the judgment. And listen, that would be the question. And the answer in verse 28 says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear, the verse says, a second time, without sin unto salvation. And again, I got to ask even myself, man, for my sin, who is going to pay? Am I going to have to pay for it? Or has Christ already paid for my sin? Chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things. And he's talking about, again, how the law was simply a type of what Christ was going to do. And it's a funny thing about shadows. We sometimes see a shadow here or see a shadow there, but you go to touch it, you can't, because it's not real. And he's saying that this thing that the high priest was doing and going into the temple with the animal blood, it was a type, it was a shadow, but it could not actually do anything. It says it was not the very image of the things. And he goes on, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. And what he is saying is that, look, it covers sin for a minute, for a while, but next year they had to go back to the same thing over and over. There are some religions where they have priests, and they go and they confess their sins to a priest. And look, the Bible says we should confess our sins one to another. It's a good thing. But understand that we confess it to God if we ever want to get forgiven for that sin. And listen, I might go to Deacon Frank and tell him of something I've done. And look, he can't tell me anything that's going to make my sin forgiven. He can tell me to run around the block 10 times and shout, Jesus, 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 but my sin's still there. Because he can't help me, nor can the high priest who was sprinkling blood, nor the priest in some of these religions that sit in a booth and tell somebody they're okay and tell them what to do. No, what I've got to do is go to the true and living high priest, who's Jesus Christ, and tell him that I messed up, I sinned, I went across against you, and my sin was against you. Father, I need the forgiveness of your son. And then I'm cleansed. And then I'm clean. And he's going to talk about that a little bit, man, in regard to our conscience and in regard to our sin that's forgiven. He says in verse 2, when they not have ceased to be offered. It says, in fact, I'm going to read verse 1 of chapter 10 again. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, it says, which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshiper, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin. And listen, if I sin, I need my sin to be forgiven once and for all. And if I confess to Deacon Frank, he might tell me, oh, that's not that bad, Brother Ralph, you okay? But man, I walk away and I'm like, you know what, I'm not feeling okay. Because I went to a man and I didn't go to the God-man, Christ Jesus, who's the only one that can forgive my sin. And listen, it stays on my conscience because it's there. God has not taken it away. He goes to verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. And so once a year, the Day of Atonement, they would go and the high priest would offer your sins. You would tell them what the sins were and over. And not to mention, you're bringing new stuff to him. And that old stuff really hadn't been dealt with either. So you're still feeling a little bad about that as well. Because it wasn't cleansed. It was not forgiven. And he's talking about our conscience, man, that holds on to different and various things that we do, in particular sinful things that we do. He says in verse 3, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And again, he's making it plain, it could not take away the sin. It says, wherefore, when he cometh, it says, into the world, he saith, and we know he's talking about Christ, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And then for the next couple of verses, he's actually quoting out of Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 through 8. And listen, that's Christ talking about that God has prepared him as the body that would lay on the cross and take away the sins of the world. He had prepared him for that issue. And Christ freely took care of that issue and didn't grumble or mumble. We read in verse 6, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. And in reality, even though it was part of the law, God wrote the law, it's still, he knew that the sin was still an issue. He knew that they were going to go through the rituals. But there's one problem with sin, man, and we shared this before, that it will tell you where you're wrong over and over. Speed limit, 70 miles an hour. Wet paint, do not touch. Keep off the grass. And the law will tell us this and tell us that. And the kicker is, and he doesn't say it here, but we've seen it before, that the moment you hear the law say do not, then all of a sudden your flesh nature gets activated. And if you see that paint and it says wet paint, you chopping at the bit to touch that paint. Because the law tells you what you should not do, but it has no power to keep you from not doing the very thing that the law tells you not to do. He says in burnt offerings, verse 6, and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written, it says, of me, to do thy will, O God. And again, Christ speaking, still coming out of Psalm 40. He goes on, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, offered by the law. In other words, yes, God instituted the law, but he knew it was simply a temporary covering. It was a shadow of the real thing. And there's a game show that used to come on, and they would ask questions, and then they would say, is that your final answer? Guys, the law was not Christ, was not God's final answer. Jesus Christ was his final answer. It was simply a covering. It was simply a type. It was simply a shadow of what was to come. And verse 9 said, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. In other words, and look, we know eventually the temple was gone. It was no more sacrifices. And look, the Hebrew writer is telling these guys that thing's been done away. And look, it's not that the law is bad. It's a good thing. But the kicker is this. Only one is kept it, and that's the one that paid for our sins, who died for our sins, and that was Jesus Christ. But it had gotten so good to these folk that it became almost a ritual thing. God has given us the law, and we have the law. And then Christ comes along, and no, we don't want him. We want the law, because we want to keep the rituals. And man, there were so many intricacies in regard to keeping the law. Even when they were wandering in the desert, man, they would put this tabernacle up, a portable tabernacle. They had to tear it down, and it was all specific things had to be set up, and they just wanted to keep doing that as opposed to looking at Jesus, who's the author and the finisher, not only of their faith, but ours as well. And sometimes I'm talking to folk about Christ, and when I tell them about Jesus, and they say, is this that simple? Yeah, it is. Because they're looking to do something. They're looking to have some gyrations. I'm got to do something. I got to send some money, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Man, all you got to do as he touches your heart is believe on his son. And that's it. And man, we're in a society now where of course, nothing is free. But I got to tell you something, man. What God has done for us through Jesus Christ, it didn't cost me a dime. And even right now, man, I feel free in Christ to be able to freely worship him in spirit and in truth. And I feel free enough to be able to tell folk, even people I don't even know, about Jesus Christ, man. And he gives me that boldness. And look, the law could not do that. The letter of the law could not do that. But he has given me his spirit. And hallelujah, watch out. Because I got to do what God told me to do. And listen, I can't fear no man. And what he's telling them, you don't have to fear no man. Because you're in league with the Lord. Amen. He says in verse 10, by the which will we all, by the which, he says, will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And the verse says, once and for all. In other words, his work has set us apart for the use of God. Where before I was set apart for the use of Satan, I was doing everything I was big enough and bad enough to do, and I wasn't worried about no man then. I was concerned, but I wasn't worried about nothing. I was doing what I wanted to do, and look, along comes Jesus Christ, and he shows me the error of my ways, and lets me know, look, as bad as you think you are, you ain't that bad, and if you keep going the way you're going to end up in hell. And that I did not want. And I said, God, there's got to be a way I can get out of this thing. Maybe I can give money to the church. Maybe I can go knock on doors. Maybe I can feed the poor. Maybe I can go help for old folk. And I say that jokingly, because now I'm one of the old folk. And God said, no, all you got to do is trust in the finished works of my son, Jesus Christ. And guess what? He touched my heart and spoke to my heart in such a way I believed him. And I trusted in him. And I was blessed by him. And then saved by him. And this little guy that comes from the streets of North Philadelphia that was only about evil and bad. In fact, a guy that really I was introverted, didn't want to really talk to nobody. And God gave me his spirit, and now I can't be shut up because of the spirit that lives inside of me. And I thank God for that, and I owe that only to the Lord. And that's what the Hebrew writer is trying to get them to see, man. Y'all going through all these gyrations. You're doing this and doing that, and Christ has been here all along trying to speak to your heart. He says in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, and we know he's talking about the Christ man Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, it says forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And man, I'm recognizing that the only reason that you sit down is because you're finished. And in fact, he said in the Gospel of John, when it was all over and he was ready to die, he said, it is finished. Nothing else to add, no other works to do, nothing else a need to be done, because the work has been done by God's only begotten Son, and you don't have to worry about trying to add nothing to it or taking anything away, because it is complete. And we are complete in him. And guys, that ought to be a blessing to our heart. It really should be. Because sometimes you feel like you should be have more, or you should be doing more. And look, if you're doing or being obedient to what God has called you to do, you're going to be okay. And listen, if you're making plans...
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, L-A-M-P, at gmail.com. Be with us again next Friday morning at 10 o'clock for another program from the New Beginnings in Christ Ministries.